Okay, so now I'm going to move more on to the agenda. So we know it's happening April 1st and 3rd. The agenda is going to be happening pretty much in 3 days. So the first day we have is going to be Friday. And Friday is more like introduction to the conference, as well as a kind of like a member leader training session, workshops that really focuses on, you know, making sure members from everyone from youth groups to local groups, to area coordinators, to legislative people, to people you know, involved in country specialists, details are more like trained and really a place to connect and network to ensure that we all are really connected and knowing what's happening. So the Friday is really dedicated to that. We have other sessions that, wait a minute, just a moment. We have other sessions that are going to deal with, you know, registration and, you know, the opening of the ceremony by Ann Burroughs, who is the director of the board of director chair. And we have our first session, our first plenary that is happening in the evening. So that's the first day. That also goes into other important things that we're going to be talking about is the Action Alley. So the Action Alley, remember last year was really successful. That's going to also be here this year. There are going to be many booths available for information about the conference, or things you can do to get involved in terms of petitioning and learning about issues and really getting more involved. And those are going to be really facilitated by different groups of different, you know, issues that people deal with. So it's going to be a wide variety of things, and that's going to be open throughout the entire conference. So I definitely recommend checking out the Action Alley. I personally last year found lots of great resources that I still use to this day. And so now moving on to the second day, we have, it's going to be April 2nd, which is a Saturday, and have pretty much of the program sessions, welcoming remarks. We have the Last Christoph Award, the Hiro Naka Awards, and more planning and programming sessions. And then Friday, we're going to kind of end with the caucus. We have the board candidate forums. We have plenaries and the closing remarks. So that's pretty much how each day is going to be structured. It's very similar. Upon registration, everyone will receive a pamphlet that pretty much tells you what sessions are available and where to go at all times. So that's definitely going to be very accessible and available to you at the conference. Now to really move on to getting there. So this year, the conference, we have member and non-member prices. So our member prices right now are set for all 3 days. It's going to be $100. That's currently the early bird registration. And early bird registration means you register before February 29th. So really soon. So register before February 29th, and you will get the early bird registration costs, which for a member is $100. And for non-members, will be $125. Now, we also have discounts available for senior citizens, students, and people who have limited income. And for members, there will be a $50 price tag. And for non-members, a $65 price tag. And so this is for all 3 days. Now, I know some people can't make all 3 days, and we have definitely considered that. So now we also have pricing per day. So right now we have day passes for members set for Friday at $60, Saturday at $60, and Sunday at $30. These same discounted prices are available to the seniors, students, people with low incomes at $30 for Friday, $30 for Saturday, and $15 for Sunday. Now these prices also are available for non-members. And for non-members, for each day, for Friday, $75, Saturday, $75, and then Sunday, $50, and reduced prices at $35, $35, and $20. So we definitely try to make it accessible to everyone at every income bracket, and we have thought about, you know, how the cost can be for some people a problem, and we really want to get as many people there as possible so the costs reflect that. So then we'll move on to travel and lodging. So it's located, it should be a free shuttle service from the Miami International Airport, so it's definitely very accessible. It's going to all happen in one venue, so there should be no moving around. It should be pretty set in that, and there are taxi available, there are shuttle services available. There are rental car services available, so all those things are definitely covered. And you can check on the AGM homepage for more information about that, which is actually Amnesty International or amnestyusa.org/AGM2016. And so that's a pretty, you know, broad gist of what's happening in the conference. If you really need any information, go to the site and register. And look up information there, registration's there, the agenda's there, conference sources are there. Everything you need to know is available right now on the website. I encourage you to go and explore it. People have put lots of time and effort into it. It's very meticulous in terms of what's there. So I encourage everyone to go look at the website to get more information on anything. And if you have any questions in particular, you can email the planning committee team at agm@aiusa.org, and they should respond in a quick manner. And that's a general gist of what's happening.
Okay. Let's just open up. Does anybody have any questions? Anybody online?
Yes. My name is Laura. I'm from Boston. And I was just wondering, in previous years as a student group, we were able to help volunteer for discounted, or I think it was even free, hotel room. Is that still an option?
Yes, I can speak on that. So we actually do have subsidies available if you need subsidies for room and board. While at the conference, those are available. The application should be opening soon. So keep checking at the website to see when the subsidy application will be available for you to register. And if you want to reach out to someone, reach out to your field organizer. They'll have more information about hotel subsidies when you get there. And this year, actually, we are in need of volunteers. And right now, there are many different ways you can volunteer. We have volunteers at the registration area. You can help with setup. You can help with the event breakdown, the ballroom of this ambassadors and guest services. There are plenty of volunteer roles available. So in order to do that, you just contact agm@aiusa.org to get more information about volunteering. And as a part of volunteering, you do a three-hour shift. And for each day you do a three-hour shift, you get a free pass to the conference. So I think it's a really great deal for, you know, people who can't necessarily afford the day pass and you want to really get involved more in logistics of the conference. So register for that, 3 hours, and you get an entire day pass. I did it myself. I think it was in the 2014 AGM, and it was pretty nice. Like I got everything I needed, and I got to meet a lot of great people in the process. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, Laura. Any other questions?
Hello, Youngmin Kwan from Washington D.C. I'm from the Georgetown Law Chapter. I'm also a member of a few of the local chapters in D.C., one of which is the Middle East and North Africa group. I have a question regarding the Action Alley. Last year, I remember our group members were heavily involved with doing, I believe it was an Action Alley. We did the Open to Syria photo action. We brought our signs and we then had people take pictures and we helped. And I believe we shared it with the entire national group. I'm not really sure about that, but my question is, I don't see any application for Action Alley on the website. Is that something that will be added later, or is the application being submitted through another channel?
Yeah, so that's actually in the making right now. The Action Alley application will be available soon. If you go to the website, it actually tells you it should be available soon. So be looking out for those soon. They will be available soon for you to register.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Yung Lee. Anyone else?
Yes. Hi. This is Carolyn up in Vermont, AC, West LC.
And hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Chair.
Smiles.
Hi. Is this Michael?
No, this is Ed.
Oh, hi, Ed. Yes. Oh, we just had a meeting today. I'll get back to you on our
email.
Our statewide meeting coming up because we secured the place. When I called the hotel, I guess it's $199 a night, you know, so that's $600 for 3 nights. Is there help with subsidies for member leaders on that?
So, yes, subsidy applications are available or will be available soon. That's also one thing that's in the making. So be looking out for those. Also, an APSHIP field organizer if you need more information more immediately.
And contact who if you need information immediately?
Your field organizer.
Okay.
But, yeah, right now a subsidy application is on the website. Just look. It's just going to be not available right now.
Okay. And airfare from here is about $500. Very complicated places that you go to get there, but just was wondering if there was any. So I'll look for that and then
No? Okay. Kendrick, I was wondering, can you mention something about the policy regarding minors? Do you have information on that, or I can give that if you like? Are you there?
Yeah. I'm here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I just got home from work.
Oh, okay. So this is
a
caller.
Have we lost Kendrick? Have we lost Kendrick?
I have a feeling we may have lost Kendrick. Anyway, let me just... Oh, wait. He should be there. Yeah. Kendrick, are you there?
Yeah, it was my phone was acting funny. My bad.
Okay. No, I was just asking if you could speak to the participation of minors at the conference.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So for minors at the conference, if you go on the Amnesty website, that AGM website, and go to conference resources, they have a tab on there that has information about the minors. So for minors, we need to have a waiver signed in order to be a part of the conference. And if you go on the conference website and click on a link, it actually will send you to a link where you can get the waiver signed in order to come to the conference if you're under 18.
Okay, and I'll also add that the waiver has to be completed before the conference. And also that the minor must be required or must be accompanied by a chaperone or guardian for the entire duration of the conference. So just so that people know that. And also, I would just ask you if you could mention about voting for resolutions and eligibility.
Sure. So for voting, we're going to be doing that during the conference. I think it's going to be on the third day, if I'm not entirely sure. I'll come back with you for that. But you have to be a member in order to do it. And this, you have to be a registered member before February 11th. So if you want to register or vote at the resolutions, you have to be a member before February 11th, which is approximately 50 days before the conference. And in order to ensure your membership status is still good, you can contact Michelle Menzel at mmenzel@aiusa.org with more information about that.
Okay, and also if you want to renew your membership or check on your status, you can call 1-800-AMNESTY. And they'll check on your membership if you want to check it in advance. Okay? Or we have any questions about those points?
Hello, Youngmin Kwon again from Washington, D.C. One thing I forgot to mention earlier, I've been the Amnesty chapter at our school. So, but I'm also a registered member as a in my personal capacity. I personally paid the due. So I myself had never had a problem with participating in the voting, but what about the members of our student chapter? Is there any kind of process they have to go through in order to show that they are members of our chapter, or do they have to be, because I understand that you don't have to be an individual dupe member as long as you're a member of a student chapter, right? Well, what do they have to go through in order to vote, the student members?
Okay, it's my understanding that this was a change made by the board, that you have to be a current dues-paying member, which means you've either joined or renewed your membership by no later than February 11th.
So being a member of an Amnesty student chapter is not sufficient to be able to vote?
No, no.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Thanks for the conversation.
Sure, thanks.
Yeah. Hey, Ed.
Yes.
Johnny, if I could just add a little bit to this part. Just to be clear on what it means when we're saying dues paying member, that's the $25 or the $15 for students membership. Your membership covers you all the way to April 3rd. That means that you could cast a vote.
Yeah. If you're in any doubt at all, just call member services at 1-800-AMNESTY in advance before February 11th, just to make sure that you are eligible.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Okay, that's good. So thank you, Kendrick. That was great. Thanks for all your information. And now let's move on to Michael in ways that we can support the AGM.
Yes, we just had a call last night, and one of the best ways you can support, just besides arriving at the, you know, being at the AGM, is to be on the host committee. And there might be some people on the call who are on the host committee in Brooklyn last year. But the AGM host committee, we're looking for 40 host members. And what that is you don't have to even go to the AGM, but say somebody's in Utah or Chicago or wherever, and they would be on the host committee. All they need to do is, you know, explain what the AGM is to their friends and family and people that they might have connections with. They would promote it maybe on their Facebook page. If they go to a local group meeting, they could talk about that. So you don't have to be at the conference, but the commitment would be that you would promote the AGM, and we would request that you would get at least 6 people to register and go to the AGM. So as of last night, I think we had 12 host committee members, and we're looking for 40. And I think, you know, if you're interested in that, you can talk to, you know, you can email Johnny Gonzalez at jgonzalez@aiusa.org, or you could also email Kendrick or me if you know us. We'd be happy to help you with that. But, you know, it's easy to do. You'd be, you know, especially if you can't be there, you'd be actually helping promote and support the AGM. And it really doesn't take much effort. You know, put it on your Facebook page, talk to people. You know, one of our members on our last night thought it would be really hard to do, and he just, you know, I think he asked his wife, and his wife said yes, and he talked to some friends, and, you know, Johnny talked to his mother, and Johnny's mother said yes. So it really is easy, and it really helps support the AGM in attendance, but it also gets us new people, new blood, people that might not have even heard of Amnesty International. So that's one way you can support the AGM. Are there any questions about that?
Well, Michael, let me just jump in on you for a second here. Just to correct the email address, it's Johnny's full name, which is Johnny Gonzalez. So johnnygonzales@aiusa.org.
Great. And you can also find it on the website. There's a link there if you'd like to do it on the events page. But are there any other questions? Is there anybody that knows they want to be a host committee member right now? Or maybe you know somebody that might be interested. So please put the word out about host committee. There's a couple other ways you can help support the AGM, and one of them is to become a Goodwill supporter. So if you are going to be registering and going to the AGM, you can also sponsor someone else. So there's an online registration form, and that cost would be $350. So you not only go to the AGM for yourself, but you could help support somebody else around the country. And then there's the Amnesty Conference Visionary. And that would be a person who would purchase their registration, and it would help support 4 people, 4 sponsored tickets. And there's an online registration form for that, and that is for a cost of $700. So there may be people on the call tonight who might be interested, or you might know of somebody who you work with, or maybe a boss, or some, you know, maybe somebody who's really interested in that. And the other way is space recognition. So this is a thing where you may or may not come to the AGM, but you are a donor for a space. So it could be like a booth at Action Alley, and there will be a little blurb that this space was made possible by your donation.
I think in that case you could contact Johnny Gonzalez as well.
Okay, great. So those are the 3 ways, plus being a host committee member, to do that. Are there any questions with anybody?
Nobody? Okay. Well, thank you, Michael. That's really great information. And thanks for providing all the information, that ways that we can support the AGM.
Sure.
So let's finally move on to Julie, Julie Southwell. If you could just you know, chime in, introduce yourself, give a little background, and then we can get started with your portion.
Great. Thanks, Ed, and thanks, everyone, for joining us tonight. As Ed said, my name is Julie Southwell. I'm a senior field organizer based in the Northeast office. But the reason that I was the person asked to talk about fundraising is actually because of my background. Before I started with Amnesty, I spent over 5 years in fundraising at a couple different organizations. So that was my main career for 5 years. And beyond what I did for work, I actually also personally have a pretty strong history with successfully fundraising. I ran the Boston Marathon 2 years in a row, and in both years I raised over $4,000 all through very simple fundraising techniques. So I wanted to tell you all that because then when I talk about fundraising, I just want you to know that I've actually done it and that I've been there, and I know how daunting it can be at times, but it is also very possible. So talk a little bit about what I'm going to do is talk a little bit about some of the things I've done, some of the things that we need to do at Amnesty, and then I've actually invited a guest to talk about what she's done with her student group. And then if people are interested, I'd love to hear other people's success with fundraising, because I think that's how we can be the most successful, is by doing some idea sharing. So when we talk about fundraising for Amnesty, there's a couple of different things we might be talking about. If you're an Amnesty group member, you are fundraising because you might need to buy supplies for your work on Amnesty issues. You might need paper, stamps, pens, envelopes, things like that. You might need to fundraise to fund the event that you're hosting for human rights. Like you might have to host a film screening or pay for a venue, all of these things that help Amnesty really do our human rights work. Another reason that you might fundraise is actually to support Amnesty International USA, because we are a nonprofit. We're a big nonprofit, but we make our money through fundraising. So a lot of groups will do fundraising and send a donation to Amnesty USA, the organization. But lastly, you might want to fundraise for something like the AGM or the regional conference. And that seems to be the thing that a lot of our members have the most trouble with, because for some reason, people have trouble asking for money when it comes to something like attending a national conference. Maybe because it seems like you're just going on vacation or just having fun. But attending something like the AGM can play a huge, important role in your ability to be a successful activist. So when you attend these conferences, you have the opportunity to meet with other activists from around the region and the country. You get to attend multiple workshops. You get trained on different techniques and skills that will make you a better human rights activist. You get inspired. I know we all get inspired at the AGM. And then you're able to go to an AGM and actually plan your human rights work. So although something like the AGM might seem like a fun getaway, your attendance makes you a better, more connected human rights activist, and it's definitely worth fundraising for. I just want everyone to really understand that when you're fundraising to attend the AGM, you're fundraising for your human rights work, not only for the work that you'll do in the future after attending, but we do human rights work when we're at the AGM. We'll do an action, a public action, and we'll also do tons of actions in the Action Alley space, and you're actually doing human rights work right when you're there at the AGM. So that's the number one thing I think people need to take away, is that it actually is human rights work to attend the AGM, and you shouldn't be worried about asking for money for this. So when you're thinking about your trip to the AGM, I heard Caroline in Vermont, my fellow New England neighbor, talking about the different costs that are going to be associated with going to the AGM. And this is something everybody should be thinking about. And there's a few different things you need to think about. First, the registration fee. We already heard from Kendrick what the registration fee is. Then you need to look at your transportation costs, flights or buses, or even your gas, depending on where you live. Then you need to think about the other costs that you might not think about, which is your meals and spending money. So you get these numbers, and then you know how much, that's your starting point. But that's not the end point. Now that you have this estimated cost, there's a couple of things that you can do before you really figure out how much you need to raise. The first is ask yourself, does your group, particularly your local group, have a treasury that they use to send representatives to these events? Some local groups do. A lot of our like established local groups have often set aside money to send representatives. And over the years, it may not have been as relevant. Maybe people weren't interested. But the chance there is local groups that may have a treasury set aside for attendance. For university groups, for colleges, most colleges, a very, very high percentage of college, have funds set aside for students to attend educational conferences like this. And this is definitely an educational conference. And you, as a registered student group, have access to those funds. The number one barrier to accessing those funds is usually that you didn't give yourself enough time. So you, if you're a college student, you should be going to your student life office tomorrow and asking about these funds. High school groups, you often don't have as much of a set-aside funds for educational conferences as much as colleges do, but some schools do have that. It's a smaller percentage, and it, you should ask right away because, again, the barrier is, did you give yourself enough time to get the permissions in place? And the last thing that you need to think about is the AIUSA subsidy process, which Caroline or somebody else mentioned earlier. Yes, we do have subsidies, and in fact, I have the application. The field organizers were already sent the application. I'm not sure if it's live on the website yet, but it is technically live. So you can reach out to your field organizer. You can also reach out directly to me. My email is J, as in Julie, South, like the direction South, Well, W-E-L-L. At AIUSA.org. So that's jsouthwell@AIUSA.org. And I will send you the subsidy application. So once you've asked these questions and you've tallied up your total estimated cost, now you know how much money you have to fundraise. So now you actually have to get out and do it, and that's the hardest part of fundraising. And the number one most successful way to raise money is actually just by asking people. And I know that's not something that people like to hear. We want to think that there's a secret formula, but there really isn't. The number one way to raise money is by simply asking. So either through an email, an old-fashioned regular letter, or asking in person. The worst thing that will happen when you ask people is they'll say no. That's the worst thing. That's not that bad of a thing. I mentioned earlier I raised $8,000 in 2 years. 75% of that money was raised through emails and letters. Only 25% was raised through other means. So the formula for figuring out how many people you need to ask is you need to think about 25% of people that you ask will give. And of those 25%, your average donation is likely to be about $25. So for example, if you ask 100 people, and you get 25% return of a $25 donation, you're looking at $625. That's a lot of money. That can get you to the AGM. So that's the formula to keep in mind when you're thinking about a letter writing campaign. I have sample letters that I can email out to you that you can use and alter for your own purposes. So just email me tomorrow and let me know if you're interested. So a lot of you aren't really, maybe you don't want to do the letter writing campaign, or maybe you want to do a couple of other things too. So there's a lot of different fundraising ideas that you can do. My groups have done really successful merchandise sales. You can host a party. You can do bake sales, dinner, pancake breakfast, things like that. When you're doing those creative fundraising events, the number one thing to keep in mind is what your overhead cost is. And that's something that often gets left behind because we get excited about whatever the idea is, and we don't think about how much it's going to cost to pull off the idea. So make sure when you're putting together your plan for your big party at a local bar or a local coffee shop, are you getting any of the food donated, or are you paying for the food? you should always try to get stuff like that donated. If you're having it at a venue of some sort, are you paying for the venue? Did you get a donation to have the venue for free? Anything that's going to take some of your overhead down is really the way to move forward. If you know, there's a risk to reward ratio. If your risk is high and the amount of money you spend is high, you might want to rethink that fundraising idea, because the last thing you want is to have this big fundraiser where you raise $1,000, but you spent $700. That, you know, it might have been better to just send out 100 more fundraising letters. So I'm going to actually ask my Maya, who's one of the SACs that I work with. She's based at Columbia, and they've had a couple of really good fundraisers. And Maya is going to share some of her examples with us. But before she starts, I again just wanted to give my email, jsellswell@aiusa.org. I have a couple of fundraising resources put together for you all, a list of many different ways, a step-by-step instruction of how to host an event. There's a couple of really great resources that I can't send you right now because this is a conference call format, but they're ready to go, and I would love to send them to you tomorrow or early next week. So please email me if you have any interest in talking about fundraising more. And now Maya from Columbia is going to share some of the success that her group has had.
Great. Thank you, Julie. So most of what I'm going to say, I've found success with on a college campus. A lot of this can be used and sort of changed for other settings. But college students, this is in high school, this is sort of aimed at you guys. My group has co-opted a couple AGM events, actually. So we do something called Jamnesty, where we have a big party. We'll get either a DJ, always donated, some friend who wants to DJ or who is a DJ, or a band to perform. We'll sort of set it up like a formal event, so people get dressed up. There's usually some food, again, donated. If you're on a college campus, I can guarantee you there are restaurants around that want to donate food to you because they want their name out there. I know Chipotle does donations, Insomnia Cookies does donations, and you should check the local places around your school because they're going to be there for you. You'll have to pay to come to the event. So you can accept money through tickets or through cash at the door, whatever you think is best for your setting. But it's a really fun way to get people excited, to get some money, and also you might end up getting some new members because you've put your name out there. Another thing we've co-opted from AGM is Slamnesty, so a slam poetry event. You can do it in a coffee house or in a classroom or whatever nice space you have. It can be really relaxed. You can have an open mic or get people to sign up in advance. You can have just poetry. You can do singing and guitar and whatever else it is. We've also done it in conjunction with art, like an art auction before. So artists that want to put up their artwork in the space that we're holding our event in can do that, and they can also sell their work. Usually stuff that works best are things that like can be nice dorm decorations, because then you can like sell it at a relatively low cost. People will buy it. It'll be a nice homemade thing in their room, and it also sort of helps the artists to get their work out there. Another thing that we've done before is just to have a regular old party, not a formal event. Fraternities and sororities are required to do philanthropy events for their organizations. So they will likely partner with you if you want to partner with them to throw a party. A lot of times the fraternity and sorority can cover the overhead costs. Which can be really helpful to you. So they'll pay for the food, they'll pay for the drink. And it can be a great way to get many, many people to come because they know that it's going to be a fun time at that fraternity or whatever it is. A suggestion for raising money with this kind of party or anything. I forgot to mention for our Slamnesty event, the spoken word, we would do like a donation bucket or make people pay for food. So we could have food there and then people wouldn't have to pay to go to the event, but they pay for the food. But make sure that you are accepting money in multiple ways. People, especially college students, don't always carry cash on them. So one way to make sure that people can't just say, oh, I don't have any money on me, I can't pay, sorry, is to use an app called Venmo. Venmo is sort of a mobile currency for accepting money. You can put in a credit card. You can do it through your phone. It's like perfectly safe. And people can Venmo you, which is the term. So they send you money, and you can put that in your bank account. So if you already have a Venmo account, you can change your name, your username to like your group's Amnesty. And if you don't have an account, you can set one up, set it up for your name or set it up for your group and raise money that way. It's a really, we found it's like the most successful way of actually getting money, because when people go out, when people go to events, especially in college, they don't tend to carry cash on them. If you are in an area that is a big food truck population, we have found success getting a food truck to donate some of their proceeds of a night to our Amnesty group or to your organization. You just have to call a bunch of food truck managers and find one that works. And they're really happy to do it. It gets their name out there. They're making some money from it. One pro tip for college students is if you have the food truck come late at night on a Friday or a Saturday, or whatever the like party night at your school is, you're likely to get a bunch of people to come, because drunk college students love things like tacos and whatever it is a food truck has to offer. You can make like a Facebook event for the food truck so people know that it's going to be there at the time, and people can come and get their food. Then there's also just sort of the old school like bake sale type things. We've had success doing it in conjunction with a holiday or an event. We are going to do something on Valentine's Day for My Body, My Rights. We're going to do cookie grams. So you can send a cookie to a friend, and you have to pay for the cookie to be sent to them, but the cookie will be delivered. It can be in a fun shape, maybe something related to My Body, My Rights or whatever. The activist thing you're doing it in conjunction with. And you can even put in some info about sexual and reproductive rights if that's what you're feeling. People do it a lot for different organizations. It's had success. No matter how many organizations do it, people always love their cookies. And then the last two things to consider are, as Julie said, your school has resources. You don't necessarily know where they are, and they may be in lots and lots of different places. In addition to like your student life office, check if you have a global programs office or like an office that does like study abroad, travel things. They often have funding. Check grants that from different departments. Sometimes they'll do travel grants for human rights related things. And you can also get like different pieces of funding from different places. So maybe it's your student life office that will fund the actual fee for the conference, but there's another group that will fund your travel there. So once you find one, like keep looking. There's more out there. Talk to all the departments. Talk to all the different programs. You can get the resources. And then the last thing is when you're doing events and parties, just again make sure to take into consideration the cost benefit. You can throw a big party and it can be really fun, and maybe it's a great way to raise awareness, but you might not necessarily raise the money. So if you can like make sure that you're getting things donated, that you have it all lined up, and like, make sure you have everything there before you go, you can end up raising a lot of money and it can be really successful.
Okay, thank Maya. You,
thank you, Maya. And I just wanted, I loved what you just said about capitalizing on the fact that Valentine's Day is coming and that people will be doing things for Valentine's Day anyways. So is there a way that you can tack on to that? And I have a couple of other really good examples of people that have done that in the past. Obviously, we know the Super Bowl is coming up. And if you know anything about sports, you know that most professional football games include quite a bit of tailgating ahead of time. My sister, when she lived in Baltimore, went to a Ravens game to the tailgating parking lot with basically a jar when she was raising money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And she went around, and in 1 hour, talking to a bunch of football fans that were about to go watch a game, she made a couple hundred dollars in an hour. The people were already there. She didn't have to get the people to come. They were already there, so she took advantage of that. So taking advantage of things that are already happening and maximizing that, like Valentine's Day. We also have St. Patrick's Day coming up. A lot of people are going to be drinking on St. Patrick's Day. If you live in a state where they have a bottle return, where you get money back for your bottles and cans, what about doing a can and bottle drive? People are already going to have those cans and bottles, and you're just going to pick them up and get the money. So think about what's happening in your communities, what's happening nationally, and is there going to be large gatherings of people, or is there going to be events happening that you can tack on to? So we have about 10 more minutes. We have about 10 more minutes.
Don't know what
Did
that
anybody
was.
Have, me either. Anybody have any questions or comments? Questions, comments, concerns? Something they want Maya to clarify?
Okay, that's somebody's phone. Don't know. I don't know what to make of that.
It sounds like someone's getting a fax.
I can't figure out which one that is.
If anybody thinks they might be getting a fax.
Okay, I'm not sure how to find that. Somebody's phone. Okay. Hope that was it.
That might have been
it. That sounds better. All right, go ahead, Julie.
Oh, I just I wanted to open it to questions. If anyone has questions for me, or if anybody wants to hear a little bit more about any of the things that Maya described that they've done at Columbia, now is the time.
Nobody there? No questions? Well, okay, thank you so much, Julie, and especially thank you so much, Maya, for that valuable input. That's really great, really creative ideas, and thank you for all your work with the Columbia. Really appreciate that. We're going to be closing down soon. I just wanted to mention two last pieces. If you plan to attend the AGM, and you're interested in this, the Identity and Discrimination Unit is going to be facilitating a training of trainers for sexual and reproductive rights during the AGM. So spots are limited. If you're interested in becoming a sexual and reproductive rights advocate trainer in your community, you have to go through an application process. The deadline will be February 12th. So reach out to your field organizer to start that process. You really want to get it in before February 12th. It's a great opportunity. Also, the board of directors is looking for 2 to 3 members with any kind of training, substantial training with design facilitation to join the Membership Empowerment Training Project Working Group. They're looking for applicants with skills and experience in training, curriculum design, and facilitation. and work well independently and with team members, be able to donate about 8 to 10 hours a week to the work of the group. So if you are interested, please send a letter of interest with your qualifications and time availability to Michelle Menzel. She is the board liaison, and her address is mmenzel@aiusa.org. Now, I'm mentioning this because the deadline's February 3rd, get those in. Finally, I just wanted to say thank you to all of you for participating in our first monthly membership call. We really want to make this a tool for you to use to communicate with other members and member leaders across the country. So it's a forum for sharing. If you have any ideas for any upcoming calls, please always feel free to contact me, Edwin Gur. You can reach me at egur@aiusa.org. So that's our final bit of business here. If anyone has any final comments or questions, please speak up.
Well, thank you. It was very informative and a good opportunity. So.
Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ed.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks very much, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference will now end.